We've been looking at the subject of grace, and there are four words that summarize grace. Those four words are God is for us. God is for us. God is not just with us, and He is, but God is for us. And we're looking this morning at extending grace through forgiveness. Extending grace through forgiveness. The Bible says that God didn't just intend for you to only receive His grace. He wants you to pass it on. He wants you to receive it and pass it on to others. God has blessed us, and He wants you to bless other people as well. He wants you to be an instrument of His forgiveness. You've been forgiven if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have been forgiven, and He wants us to pass on that forgiveness to other people. Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Whatever we receive from God, we are to offer to other people. We're thinking specifically about forgiveness. How do we extend forgiveness to other people? How do we extend forgiveness to other people? There are many misconceptions about forgiveness, and I want us to look at some statements about forgiveness, and I want you to think about whether this is true or this is false, these statements that I make. What is forgiveness? A person should not be forgiven until he asks for it. True or false? You might keep that to yourself, but just in case, I want you to be able to think through these. B, forgiveness includes minimizing the offense and the pain that it caused. True or false? Forgiveness requires restoring trust and restoring a broken relationship. True or false? Key word there is requires. And D, you haven't really forgiven until you have forgotten the offense. True or false? And then E, when I see someone else get hurt, it is my duty to forgive the offender. When I see someone else getting hurt, I have to forgive the offender. As we read Jesus' teachings on forgiveness, we have to conclude that all of these are false. Every one of these are false. And Father, as we look to your word this morning, we pray that you will help us to understand more fully than ever before what you have done for us and what you desire for us to do for others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Five things forgiveness is not. Five things forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not conditional. Forgiveness is not conditional. It is not something you can earn. Real forgiveness is unconditional. Real forgiveness is unconditional. It's offered even if it's not asked for. Jesus on the cross prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. At that point, no one had asked for forgiveness. And certainly no one deserved it that had put him up on that cross. It was an unconditional offer of pardon that Jesus gave. Secondly, forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. It is not saying, oh, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. It didn't really hurt that bad. If it hurt even a little bit, it's worth forgiving. Forgiveness is saying, yes, it did hurt. But I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to hold it against you. I forgive you. And then forgiveness is not restoring a relationship without changes. You see, forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. These are two different issues. Forgiveness is not the same thing as restoring a relationship. Forgiveness is instant, but trust has to be rebuilt over time. Forgiveness does not guarantee the future relationship is going to be like it was before. It takes more than forgiveness for reconciliation. To restore a relationship, first does come forgiveness. That's your part if you've been hurt. But for the offender, it takes three things. For the one who has created the offense, who has hurt the person, first of all, it takes repentance, showing genuine sorrow. Secondly, it takes restitution when and where possible. And then thirdly, rebuilding trust takes time. Rebuilding trust takes time. If you've been hurt, forgiveness is your part in the relationship that has been damaged. But the offender must display some other things for repentance and restoration to take place. While forgiveness is based on grace, trust is earned. Trust is earned. Big difference there. If someone offends you over and over again, you are called by God repeatedly to forgive them, but you are not obligated to instantly trust them and act like everything is fine, nothing happened. Forgiveness does not mean you have to resume a relationship without any changes. And then fourth, real forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. Real forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. And some of you have a tough time with this because you think, I can never forget it. So if I forgive, I'll have to start all over with the relationship again. No, not true. Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. We can't forget everything that happened to us. The more painful, the less we are able to forget. The only way to forget something is to replace it with something else. You don't really forget something unless those memory brain cells are destroyed. It's still there. There's something far better than forgetting. It's remembering the lessons of how God helped me work through those hurts. Remembering how God brought good out of bad. Remembering how you grew in character as a result. Remembering how it made you sensitive to the hurts of other people. Remembering how it may have changed your life's direction at a crucial point in time. Remembering how important things you have today that you would not have had if it hadn't been for that hurt. No, there's something far better than forgetting. It's remembering God's grace. Romans 8:28 in the Living Bible paraphrase says, all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. When I remember what God did through that difficult time, I can truly praise Him. But forgiving is not forgetting. And then fifth, forgiveness is none of my business when I wasn't the one hurt. When I've seen someone else hurt, it is not my place to forgive the person who committed it. That's the place of the person who was hurt. We try to get rid of guilt as quickly as possible by just giving a blanket forgiveness to people we don't even know. Only the victim can pronounce forgiveness for the offender. It was a boy who walked into a high school prayer meeting in Paducah, Kentucky, and he took out a gun and he shot three girls to death. Next day, some students put up signs all over the campus telling the killer, "We forgive you, Mike." Now, those kids meant well, and they thought they were doing the right thing, but it wasn't their place to forgive that boy. The families had not even worked through their grief. It wasn't those other students' place to pardon the murderer, because they weren't the ones sinned against. Offering forgiveness is not my right if I'm not the one who was hurt. Also, many people don't understand that forgiveness does not remove the consequences of sin. When Carla Faye Tucker, who was a real-life axe murderer, gave her life to Jesus Christ in prison, to which she was to pay with the rest of her life, she asked Jesus to forgive her. She was truly born again. She even asked the people to forgive her that she had hurt through those murders she had committed. But that did not release her out of prison. There were still consequences to pay. A person who has an affair and leaves his wife or her husband and children and breaks up their marriage and then later comes to God and prays, "God, please forgive me. I know that that was stupid. That was selfish. I should not have done it. It was wrong." They are instantly forgiven by Jesus Christ. But that does not remove the scars that come from breaking up a home, scars on the children, on the spouses, on many other people. There are real consequences to sin. That's why God proclaims certain things to be sin, because of the consequences. He doesn't want us hurt, and he doesn't want us hurting other people. Real forgiveness is not some cheap term that you just throw out and instantly everybody feels better. It's reserved for the person who is hurt directly to give to those who hurt them. Therefore, what is real forgiveness? What is real forgiveness? Excuse me a minute here. I'm too dry this morning. I ran out after the first service. What is real forgiveness? The Bible says real forgiveness is to remember how much I have been forgiven. Remember how much I have been forgiven. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Circle those words, in Christ. In Christ. You're not forgiven because you earned it. You're not forgiven because you promised never to do that sin again. You're forgiven because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the starting point for genuine forgiveness. If you don't feel forgiven, you don't want to forgive someone else. If you're hard on yourself, you're going to be hard on other people. You need to accept His forgiveness. But the more grace you receive from God, the more gracious you're going to be towards others. The more God has forgiven you, the more forgiving you should be towards other people. One day, a woman with a bad reputation came to Jesus, and in front of the religious leaders, she took out some expensive perfume, and she washed Jesus' feet with the perfume. The religious leaders were incensed by this. They said, "Doesn't Jesus know who this loose woman was?" They also criticized her, saying she could have sold the perfume and given the money to the poor. But Jesus rebuked these religious guys and in effect said, "Lighten up. She has been forgiven so much, She has given so much. It's an act of worship. She will be remembered from this day forward because of what she has done for me, Jesus said. Because she felt so graced by Christ, she was being gracious herself. For each of us, it starts with remembering how much I have been forgiven. Secondly, relinquish my right to get even. Relinquish my right to get even. The heart of genuine forgiveness is giving up my right to get even. Romans 12:19 says, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. He says, don't retaliate. Leave that to God. You say, if I forgive them, then that means I give up all my rights to get even. That's precisely what forgiveness is, to give up all your right to get even. You absorb the pain yourself without having to retaliate. But that's unfair. Who said forgiveness is fair? There's a word for fairness. It's called justice. Justice is fair, but forgiveness is grace. Do you deserve forgiveness? No. You deserve justice, just like I do. Aren't you glad doesn't give us what we deserve? I sure am. Who would be here if he did? God is gracious to us, and he wants us to be gracious to one another and to other people. So you are to give up your right to get even. Why is that? It says, leave that to God, for he has said he will repay those who deserve it. Life is not fair, but one day God is going to settle the score. Who can produce better justice, you or God? God says, let me handle it. Just relax and let me fill you with my grace. And let me put your grace, or your heart rather, at peace. Let me put your heart at peace with my grace. When you're holding on to a hurt, you are hurting yourself. So give up the right to get even. And then thirdly, responding to evil with good. Genuine forgiveness is responding to evil with good. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28 says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. Who said that? Jesus said that. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. How can we tell when we've really released someone and we've genuinely forgiven them? You can pray for God to bless them. When you come to the point where you can pray, bless that person who hurt me, you will know that forgiveness is complete when you can sympathize with their hurts and not just your own. You've heard the term hurt. People hurt people. We hurt other people because we ourselves are hurting. And if someone hurts you, it's most likely that they are hurting on the inside as well. When you have genuinely forgiven a person, you can look past the ways that they have hurt you and see how they also are hurting and how that hurt is part of the reason that they've chosen to hurt you. When you can look at the hurt with empathy and sorrow, you know that you've genuinely forgiven them. When you can pray for God to bless them, when you can do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you, you are responding to evil with good. You say, how can I ever do that? That's impossible. I couldn't do that for the person who hurt me. You can't unless you do one thing. You allow the love of God to penetrate every fiber of your life. Only the love of God could cause you to do something like that. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. There was a guy who was having a big argument with his wife. And the next morning he went to the office and he said, last night my wife got hysterical. His friend said, don't you mean hysterical? He said, no, historical. She told me everything I had ever done wrong. You ever do that? The Bible says, when I do it, I am being hateful. I'm not doing it in love. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That does not mean you forget the wrongs. It means you don't use them as ammunition. It means you don't use them to retaliate. What many do is not just forgive a hurt, but they also hold on to it too. Later on, if we do something wrong and get accused, then they say, you did this, and then you go back, yeah, but you did that. The Bible says that's truly hateful because love keeps no record of wrongs. Genuine forgiveness is not just remembering how much I have been forgiven and relinquishing my right to get even and responding to evil with good. But there's a fourth thing. The fourth one is repeating the process as long as necessary. You see, forgiveness is not just a one-time event for most of us and for most situations. Forgiveness is not just a one-time event. How long do I have to keep forgiving that person? I do it as long as the feelings of anger come back. Every time it comes back, I need to offer that forgiveness. Peter asked a question of Jesus. Peter asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Now, Peter's thinking he's being really big here. The Jewish law said you had to forgive someone three times. And Peter doubles it and he throws in one for good measure. Jesus says, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Keep forgiving that person until the desire for revenge goes away. Pray, dear Jesus, I know this bitterness is bad for me. I know I need to forgive them. Lord, I forgive that person. And then 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 months later, that feeling of revenge comes back again. So pray it again. When the memory comes back, you pray it again and again and again and again. You just keep doing it until the pain finally goes away. If they really hurt you deeply, it's going to take more than just once because the memory keeps coming back. You must repeat the process as long as necessary. It's a continual process. Every time you feel the hurt of resentment, you're going back over it in your mind. And each time that happens, you need to pray, God, I forgive them again. And you keep doing that until you know you've released them. For numerous reasons, it's not always advisable to go to your offender and tell them that you forgive them. So what do you do? Well, someone suggested you use the technique of an empty chair. You go into a room by yourself and you put a chair in the middle of the room and you imagine the offender sitting in that chair. And then you tell them how it felt. This is why I resent you. This is why I felt hurt. And you pour out your heart to that chair. Then you say, because of Jesus Christ and his grace in my life, I'm letting you go. I won't bring it up again. I'm not going to hold it against you. Not because you deserve it. I'm going to let it go because Jesus said I should do that. Or maybe instead of the empty chair technique, just write a letter and pour out everything into that letter. This is what has bothered me, and I'm letting it go. I want you to know that I forgive you. And then you never mail the letter. Did you get that? You write the letter, but you never mail it. In fact, you might burn it. You say, why in the world should I forgive the person who hurt me so much? You have no idea how much they hurt you. I don't. You're right, I don't. Why in the world should I offer grace to that person? Well, three reasons. I need to be gracious and forgive others who have hurt me because God is gracious to me. He is gracious on a moment-by-moment basis. If you think you can't forgive, you need to pause a minute and realize how much God has forgiven you. You will never have to forgive anyone else more than what Jesus Christ has already forgiven you. Not a chance. You'll never have to forgive anyone more than what God has already forgiven you. Maybe you need to stop for a moment and consider that you haven't always gotten the punishments that you deserve. God has been gracious to you, and the Bible says, because we've been forgiven by Jesus Christ, we're compelled to forgive those who hurt us. I need to be gracious and forgive others who've hurt me. The second reason is because the alternative to forgiving another is bitterness. That does not help. We've talked a bit about the futility of bitterness. Physiologists will tell us that resentment is the most unhealthy emotion there is. Did you get that? Resentment and bitterness are the most unhealthy emotions that there is. It always hurts you more than it hurts someone else. It's like taking poison into your heart. It's going to eat you up, and you will always hurt yourself more with bitterness, more than you can harm the other person who hurt you. While you're stewing and fretting about what they did, while you're resenting them and thinking of revenge and how you're going to retaliate, while you're rehearsing the pain over and over again in your mind, they go on their merry way, oblivious. They've dropped it. You're not hurting anybody but yourself with your resentment. The Bible says that in the book of Job, you are only hurting yourself with your anger. Resentment will not change the past, no matter how much you resent. It will not change the past. And resentment will not solve the problem now. Resentment is incapable of solving any problems. It doesn't make you feel better. It makes you feel worse. It robs you of joy. It allows the person in your past to continue to hurt you. And that's dumb. They don't even remember it, probably. But you allow them to continue to hurt you through your resentment and your bitterness. It robs you of joy. They can't hurt you anymore unless you allow them by rehearsing the memory over and over again. Bitterness does not work. Resentment does not work. The Bible says, in Hebrews 12, 15, be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. For if he does fail to respond to that grace, if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others, others like your children and your spouse and your friends. Let it go. Thirdly, God expects me to do this. He expects me to let it go. Matthew 6:15, Jesus said this, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Forgiveness is a two-way street. Jesus said we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give. You say, "I could never forgive that person." Then I hope you never sin, because you need forgiveness. "I don't feel like doing it." Do it anyway, because it's the right thing to do. The fact is, you're going to be hurt in life. That is an established part of life. What are you going to do with those hurts? If you hold on to that hurt and you let it fester in your life, you will end up being a gnarled, shriveled up, bitter, hateful person. Your heart is going to grow hard, and you will die bitter and lonely, because people don't like being around bitter people. Something else happens. It's amazing what bitterness does to us. If you don't release that person through forgiveness, you are going to start to resemble them. Because that's what bitterness does to you. "I'm never going to be like my dad or my mother or my brother or sister or my ex-spouse. I'm never going to be like," and who are you focusing on the whole time? The Bible teaches us that what we focus on, we move toward, and what we move toward, we become more and more like. You've got to let it go for your own sake. You say, "But you don't understand. I could never forgive that person. You don't know how much they've hurt me." You're right, I don't know. But God does. "I could never forgive that person." That's why you need Jesus. You don't manufacture enough love in your life to handle all the ways you're going to be hurt. You don't have enough love to overpower that on your own. You need Jesus Christ. You need his love, or you're going to die a bitter person. You need him to fill you with love, not every year, but every moment of every day. The reason why some of you have a hard time forgiving is because you yourself don't feel forgiven. Let's start with a prayer for forgiveness, a prayer of freedom, a prayer that can change your life. Some of you say, "I've forgiven that person in the past. Why do I still hurt?" Keep forgiving them over and over and over again when it comes to your attention. Forgive them until the pain goes away. Let me encourage you to pray this in your heart. It's up on the screen behind me here. "Dear Lord Jesus, you know I've been hurt by others. You know that my resentment has made me act in ways that have been unhelpful and unhealthy. Help me to forgive those who've hurt me. Jesus, help me to refocus my life on you and face the future with love and peace in my heart. Replace my resentment with your love and peace in my heart, and my bitterness with your grace. Thank you for forgiving me for the things that I have done wrong. And for those of you who have hurt others, and I think every one of us has done that, you might pray, forgive me for the way I've hurt others. Help me to seek to make amends. Lord Jesus, help me to refocus my life on you. I want to face the future courageously with love and peace in my heart. Replace my resentment with your love, and replace my anger with your peace, and my bitterness with your grace. Thank you for your graciousness to me. Thank you for forgiving me for the things that I have done wrong. And perhaps there might be someone here this morning who has never really invited Jesus Christ into your life. Why don't you ask him right now? Pray, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Fill me with your love and guide me from this day forward. Jesus, I put my trust in you. Amen. And I pray, dear Father, for those of us who have prayed either of those prayers, or maybe all of them, that you will confirm within our hearts that we are yours and you will help us. We can trust in you. Thank you for your forgiveness for us. Help us to extend that forgiveness to others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.